They say this mountain can't be moved. we trust in you this morning.
Give the Lord a praise this morning. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Let's lift our hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord together right now. Oh, we praise you, Lord, our God, our Savior, the one who will never fail us, Lord. We worship you. Glorify your name together in this house. Can you just lift up sounds of praise right now in this sanctuary? Just lift up your praise to the Lord right now. Worship him from your heart today. Thank him for his many acts of kindness and love on our behalf. Oh, how we love you, how we bless you, Lord. How we praise you, Lord. Thank you for hearing us and answering, oh Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, your amazing love and grace. Displayed in our lives day after day and year after year. We bless you, O Lord our God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, just declare it again from your own lips. I trust in God. I trust in God. Come on, Heidi.
My Savior, the one who will never fail.
Oh, you will never fail.
He will never fail. 'Cause I trust in God. Oh, my Savior.
We trust in you today. Our confidence, our assurance is in the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in horses, some in chariots. Some trust in the provisions of this world. But our trust is in you, O Lord our God. Our heavenly Father, the maker of the heavens and the earth. The Almighty God. Our trust is in you today. The one for whom nothing is impossible. You are the God of the impossible, O Lord, and nothing is too hard for you. Oh, yes, yes, Lord, nothing is too hard for you. We trust in you, Lord. We cast our cares upon you, Lord. We lay down our heavy burdens, O God. You make a way where there seems to be no way. You are the God who never fails. You are the God who opens doors that no one can shut. Nothing is too hard for you, Lord. Just tell that to the Lord today. Nothing is too hard for you, Lord. Come Come on, speak it out in faith to the Lord. Nothing is too hard for you, Lord. Nothing is too hard for you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many of you need a touch from the Lord right now? But you know, even as you express that, that nothing is too hard for the Lord. And He is able to touch you right where you are today. How many of you need that right now? A touch from the Lord. Let's press in and receive that right now. Oh God, we come to you in faith this morning. Thanking you, trusting you, Lord. Remembering all of your acts of faithfulness on our behalf, oh God. Thanking you, Lord, for being with us here in this service right now. As we gather together in the name of Jesus. Love you and we bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Oh, just sing it one more time.
I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never
fail. You will never fail.
You will never fail.
I trust in God. I could sing that all day long today. In a world of shifting sands, in a world where everything seems to be changing all around about us, and in a world where many are running away from God, we declare this morning the answer is in the solid foundation of the Lord our God and His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes. And what a privilege it is this morning to put all of our eggs in one basket. Amen. And to trust in the Lord our God. Could you say a good amen? Well, good morning, everyone. And happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. This is a good day and a beautiful day. And looks like we're going to get some rain here in a little bit. Somebody say praise the Lord for that. And it's just a good day. Every day is a good day to be with the people of God, worshiping the Lord in His house. Amen. So would you take just a moment right now and turn and greet those around you and let everybody know they're welcome at church this morning, please. God bless you. Pastor Bob. All right. You may be seated, everyone. Don't be so friendly that it hinders the service, please. Amen. Thank you for being with us in the house of the Lord today. And welcome to all of those who may be watching us online today. We're glad to have you. If you're here for the first time this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you and invite you to stop by our Welcome Center out in the lobby for a little gift of our appreciation today. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to see me or any of our pastors or our ushers, our leaders today, and we would be glad to make you as welcome as we can be today. Well, lots of things going on today. I want to take 2 minutes this morning to say a special word of thanks and congratulations to a lady who has been a part of our church family for many years and recently recently marked 30 years as a full-time employee here at First Assembly. Our own Nancy Yonke, who holds down our office. Come over here, Nancy. We love Nancy very much. I'm catching her off guard today, but Nancy is the first employee that I hired full time when I came here. Well, after I changed positions here, and I made Nancy promise me a long time ago that she would not retire until I did. And I don't plan to retire until 2087. And so she's here. Nancy, we want to just give you a little token of our appreciation and say how much we love you and we appreciate you. Yes, yes, yes. Nancy not only leads our office, but she also leads our 50-plus ministry, and she also is one of the best cooks in the whole wide world. And she leads all of our funeral dinners and all of those kinds of things, big dinners that we host here at the church, and she is a great blessing to us today. I want to say, we've already said Happy Father's Day, but I want to say a special and a personal Happy Father's Day to my own dear old dad, who's over there, 91 years old. Dad, would you stand this morning? Dad, can you still stand, Dad? Oh, yeah, he can stand. If you wonder what kind of health my 91-year-old dad is in, just go to Mel's on any day that they're open. You will find him there at Mel's eating lunch, and I appreciate my dad. He's been a good, faithful, godly father all of my life. He put up with us, and you know, when we were little kids, we grew up and we lived over on East Atchison Street, and Mom and Dad would bring us home from church. We'd get home from church. That house on East Atchison Street was one of those houses in Jeff City where you have to go up, you know, 90 stairs to get to the front yard. You remember, you know, those houses. And and Joel, my twin brother, and I, we would fall asleep in the car on the way home from church. And we would get home, we'd be fast asleep in the car, and Dad and Mom would carry the twin boys up that big flight of steps to the house, then up the next big flight of steps to the upstairs bedroom where we were. They would lay us down in the bed gently and lovingly, and suddenly we would wake up and holler out, "We're hungry! We're hungry!" But how many of you know, if you can get a ride anytime, it's better to get a ride? So I appreciate my dad for being such a blessing to us all of these years. Pastor Bob, come this morning. Today we have a team out on missions work. Pastor Bob is going to share what they're doing today and lead us in prayer for the missions team, please.
Yes, I am excited this morning to remind you or share with you that we had a missions team launch out this morning at 4 a.m. Was anybody up at 4 a.m. this morning? Okay, a few of you guys. And they are en route to Ellendale, North Dakota. They are going there for the next week to do some construction work at the Trinity Bible College there in North Dakota. It's one of our Assemblies of God universities. And they're going to be doing a variety of renovation works to the classrooms. Are going to be working on the ceilings, putting in new flooring, windows, painting, and a variety of other things. And I talked to Pastor Ryan a little bit before service this morning, and I don't know exactly where they were at, but he said, "I can't talk long because I'm driving in the middle of a rainstorm." So we want to pray their protection, pray God's protection upon them this week, and just pray that God will be able to accomplish everything that he desires through them. And it's a team of 10. So if you would, please be praying for them this coming week. And we just want to take a moment this morning and lift them up in prayer at this time. So if you would, please bow your heads and your hearts, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, it is always good to be not only in your kingdom, but to be servants in your kingdom. What a privilege it is, Lord God, for us to be able to partner with one of our Assemblies of God universities this week, the Trinity Bible College in Ellendale, North Dakota. And we pray that as this, our team goes out from among us, Lord, that you would just surround them with your mighty presence and your protection, Lord. Give them safe travels up there and back. And we pray that while they are there this week, Lord God, that your peace and your favor would rest upon this team. We pray, Lord God, that they would be unified in heart and spirit and in mind, Lord. And we pray that they would be able to accomplish all the work that you have for them so that these classrooms can be finished and be ready for the fall season, Lord. And we just lift up that entire college campus. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just continue to rest upon that campus, move throughout the faculty, Lord God, throughout the professors, and especially throughout the students, Lord. And we just ask that you would just continue to raise up mighty men and women to serve you in these last days, Father. So we thank you again for this wonderful opportunity, and we pray and ask all of this in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Would you stand with us once again as Heidi and the worship team comes to lead us?
Consider all the world's
You may be seated, everyone, as we look to Mark chapter 9 in our Bibles. Mark chapter 9, verse number 14 today. And I see Jeff and Amanda Wogan up there. Jeff and Amanda, we prayed for you last Sunday. Jeff's mother recently went home to be with the Lord a few weeks ago. And we pray the Lord just continues, Jeff and Amanda, to comfort you and supply everything you need. We know your mom was a strong believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're so grateful for the promise of heaven. Could you say amen, everybody? Amen. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. As Jesus, along with Peter, James, and John, come down from the Mount of Transfiguration to find confusion and chaos amidst the other disciples who were left there, Jesus had taken those three disciples up to show them his glory, and he was transfigured before them. And they came down from the mountain. When they came down from the mountain, how many of you know when the cat's away, the mice will play? Sometimes that's probably not the best illustration about Jesus and his disciples. But as Jesus was gone from them, the disciples, he found, had been trying to deliver a demon-possessed boy from an evil spirit, and they were unsuccessful. And that resulted in sort of a chaotic situation there on the ground as Jesus enters into the situation. Verse 14 says, "And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw Jesus, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, 'What are you arguing about with them?' And someone from the crowd answered, 'Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able.' And Jesus answered them, 'O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring the boy to me.' And they brought the boy to Jesus. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' And Jesus said to him, 'If you can, all things are possible for the one who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, 'I believe, help my unbelief.' And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of this boy and never enter him again.' And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, 'He's dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And he said to them, 'This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer.'" This story could lend itself to many sermons, and it has certainly through the years. This story is about fear and frustration and fighting just to survive. Have you ever been there? In the midst of a dark and difficult world where the powers of the devil and demons are at work. As we first enter this story, we've got a dad here with a boy, and they are scrapping and fighting just to survive. This is a story about faith as well. Jesus said in this story, all things are possible for the one who believes. This is a story about freedom. The freedom that only Jesus can bring when it comes to the power of Satan and demon spirits. Only Jesus can bring about that freedom. This story is about fear, frustration, fighting, faith, freedom, and it's the story of a father. And that's where we're going to camp out for a little bit today as we think about on this Father's Day Sunday, a dad who was absolutely desperate to get a miracle for his boy. Now, we've been studying through the miracles of Jesus for several weeks. If you'll remember, we started this series on miracles on Mother's Day Sunday. where a woman came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, my little daughter is suffering terribly at home with demon possession." And Jesus had a strange back and forth discussion with her, but by the end of the story, the mother went home and found the little daughter healed and whole. We started on Mother's Day with a mom who got the power of Jesus for her little daughter. Now, several weeks later, we come to this story on Father's Day, about a dad who was determined to get the power of Jesus for his little boy, who was also suffering under the power of demonic possession and oppression. This dad in this story was absolutely determined to get his son the help he needed. Now, I'm quick to acknowledge this morning that the dad in this story was not perfect. He wasn't a spiritual superman. He didn't know all the right answers. We don't know how godly or religious he had been through the years. In fact, even as he approaches Jesus, there seems to be some confusion in his mind about really, you know, how much can take place here as he says to Jesus, "If you can do anything, help us." So the dad was not perfect. He was not a spiritual superman, but he was desperate to get his little son the help that he needed. And this dad made the best decision any loving dad could ever make. He made the decision to get his kid to Jesus. Now, how many of you acknowledge with me this morning, that's the best decision any of us can make in life, is to get to Jesus. On our good days and on our bad days, we need Jesus. And in a world where so much chaos and confusion is reigning today, even in our nation, we need to understand that our families and our children desperately need a living, thriving, joyful relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm telling you this morning, only Jesus can dispel the darkness of this world. And this dad made his decision to get his boy to Jesus. And so I want to look at this dad in a little bit of detail this morning. And we begin by considering the dad's devotion. This dad was a devoted dad. What do we know from the story about this dad? Well, we know he had parented his son from childhood. Okay, we don't know exactly how old the boy is, but he might be by this time a young teenager. That would be my guess. Because the father answers, it's been from childhood. He seems to be growing up. Verse 21 says, Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood." So the dad had been present all this time in the midst of what was going on. How many of you know that is one of the first marks of a good dad? A good dad sticks around, okay? He's brought up the boy. And in the meantime, he has persevered with his son through challenges. Verse 22, he says to Jesus, "That evil spirit has often cast the boy into fire and into water, trying to destroy him." And so through these many years of struggle, some of you here today know what it is to go through many years of struggle with your children who are struggling with a variety of things. It may be very likely that Pastor Bob's mom and dad will be in our second service this morning, and they will understand this point. Enduring with your children through many years of struggle. But this dad did not abandon his child physically or emotionally. He persevered with him. Thirdly, we know that this dad, he perceived his son's spiritual change. In other words, he recognized that the problem here was spiritual. And verse 17, the man said to Jesus, "The boy has a spirit that makes him mute." A spirit. This is a spiritual matter. The devil is at work. Now, I would say to you this morning that in the world in which we live, it shouldn't take too very long for us to recognize when the devil is working. He is working 24/7. But this dad perceived that the boy's problem was spiritual. The devil had him bound. And fourthly, the dad's devotion led this man, this father, to present his son to Christ. Verse 14 says, when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, the scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw Jesus, were greatly amazed, ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, what are you arguing with them about? And someone from the crowd answered, teacher, I brought my son to you. Notice that this man's intention was to bring the boy to Jesus, not just to the disciples, but to Jesus. I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And so the man has heard about Jesus. He says, if my boy is ever going to be free from this, I'm going to have to get a hold of Jesus, who was in the area evidently. And he made his decision to get the son to Jesus. You know, many dads in the world in which we live are willing to be taxi drivers and get their kids to every imaginable kind of place. How about getting them to Jesus as the first priority? Are you here? How about getting your kids to spiritual things as a first priority? Amen. Well, I think I'll just camp right there until somebody says a better amen. We'll just wait a little bit. And this dad got the boy to Jesus. And as he did, we find out that this dad has been in a season of disappointment. In fact, even in this story, he's disappointed. We notice first that he was discouraged by perhaps a decade of demonic damage. As Jesus asks, how long has this been happening? The father says, this has been going on from childhood. His whole growing up years, he's been dealing with this terrible demonic possession. And you know, when the devil grabs a hold of somebody, he doesn't like to let go. And even in this boy, you know, it's interesting in the pages of scripture to find a variety of children who are possessed by an evil spirit and plagued by an evil spirit and oppressed by the power of the devil. Friends, the reality from the New Testament is that the devil is no respecter of persons. He will not leave our children alone. And so as Christian parents, we need to be on guard to be sure that the Lord is working in the midst of that so that the devil does not have his way with our children. Could you say amen? 1 Corinthians 7 says that children in a Christian family are sanctified by their believing parents. That means Christian parents, when they have children at home, provide a spiritual covering that sets their children apart from the things of this world and apart from the work of the enemy. And Christian parents are called to be people who sanctify their children and their home to the Lord. This dad had been discouraged all of these years, and when he gets the boy to the disciples, he was disappointed by the debilitated disciples. In verse 18, he says, I asked your disciples to cast out the demon, but they were not able. Now, I say thank God the man didn't get mad or cynical and just leave early. Thank God he waited around for Jesus, huh? Because listen, even what the best intentioned religious leaders can't do, Jesus can do. Are you here? There have been many cases where, though I may have had great intentions as a pastor and had a heart that wanted to the best of my ability, wanted to provide what somebody needed. How many of you understand? I don't have what people really need. What people really need comes from Jesus himself. And our job is to point people to Jesus, the one who is the supply. The dad's devotion, the dad's disappointment, the disciples could not cast the evil spirit out. Thirdly, we see the dad's determination in this story. He's determined to stick with this as far as possible to get the job done. And notice he asked for compassion from Jesus. Jesus responded to this situation by saying, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring the boy to me. It brought the boy to Jesus. When the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening? He said, from childhood. It's often cast him into fire and water to destroy him. And here's what he asked Jesus. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Look up at me, everybody. Don't ever come to the Lord saying, Lord, if you can do anything. That is a good, perhaps, beginner's response here. But everybody who sits here under the preaching at First Assembly ought to know that that is a question that we should have already settled. Everybody say, God can. Okay? Say it out loud. God can. All right? So we should never say, God, if you can, because we know better than that. Our God can do anything. But this man, you know, he is perhaps even ignorant of spiritual things in general. He's not really convinced yet about Jesus. He knows Jesus is a possible solution. Get this in the story. This man knows Jesus is a possible solution. Maybe even he thought Jesus was a really good possible solution, because he's made the decision to get to Jesus. But even in the midst of that, he says, if you can do anything. So he's asking Jesus for compassion and to help. And notice when he asks Jesus that question, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us, Jesus corrected him. And we note that the man, the father, accepted the correction of Jesus. Verse 23, and Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. So Jesus spoke a word of correction in the midst of that story, and the man is going to accept that correction. I will note to you this morning that the book of Proverbs says that all wise people are willing to accept correction. Yeah? And so as Jesus corrected the man, he's along for the ride and he's willing to accept that correction and receive that. And Jesus is pressing the man as he says, all things are possible for the one who believes. Jesus is pressing this man to step up and to increase his faith and his confidence and to stretch out a little bit. And to move beyond just saying, well, if you can do anything, help us. And Jesus is pulling from him. Sometimes, you know, we have a lot more that we could give if we would stretch ourselves spiritually, but sometimes we hesitate. This dad, Jesus is pulling from him stronger faith and stronger confidence. And he's challenging this man, step up. But we don't want to misjudge Jesus here. Jesus already, I believe, has in mind what he's going to do. And as he challenges this father, we note that the father accelerated his confidence in Jesus. Verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. Okay? Now, how many of you believe that all things are possible with God? Say amen. How many of you believe that Jesus is the miracle worker? Say amen. All right? Sometimes we believe, but we still, as human beings, struggle with believing completely. And I believe that it is appropriate for us always to say to the Lord, help me overcome any unbelief that I have, Lord. Help my faith to grow. And it's our responsibility as well to grow our faith by getting into the Word of God, by worshiping the Lord, by praying, by being strong in the Lord, to grow our faith so that our faith becomes stronger and stronger. So that when we come to the Lord in the midst of our need, we can do more than say, if you can, we can say, God, all things are possible for you. I lay this situation before you and ask you to meet my need. And so the man stretches out and says, I do believe, help my unbelief. This dad was willing to stretch his own faith. and to grow spiritually for the sake of his son. Think about that. He had a son at home who needed God, and he was willing to grow spiritually for the sake of his family. Think about that. Perhaps there are many men in churches who aren't especially zealous or enthusiastic about growing spiritually or about being very spiritually minded about things. That's true sometimes. But this story demonstrates to us that our children are there, and as parents are responsible to their children to grow spiritually and stretch their faith for the spiritual good of their children. So, Dad, if you haven't grown in the Lord in a long time, step it up, buddy. You've got children in your home. You've got family around you. You've got people who are watching your life. If you've not been very spiritually interested in things, change your heart and begin to pursue the Lord more radically. I'm convinced that what young people need to see in their parents in this day and age, young people need to see that their parents have a very real and genuine and passionate relationship with Jesus Christ for themselves. Listen, our kids don't just need religion, they need relationship with the Lord. I'm convinced that our children need to be strong in the Lord. They need to know their Bibles. They need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They need to be worshiping passionately. They need to be faithful in the house of God. They need to be building strong spiritual relationships with other like-minded believers. Our children need spiritual passion. And where they're going to learn that? They're going to learn that at home. First. And this dad stretched his faith in order to get his son delivered. He was a devoted dad. He'd been disappointed, but he was determined. And the story closes with dad's deliverance. This was a deliverance for the boy and for the dad, as Jesus exercises divine authority over the power of the devil. And notice, Jesus exposed and expelled the demonic spirit. Verse 25 says, when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. Now, do you believe Jesus has the final say? I'm glad Jesus didn't just say, you get out of him and hopefully you'll never come back. But Jesus gave that demonic spirit a permanent excommunication and said, get out of that boy and never enter him again. And then Jesus energized the deadish son. Verse 26 says, after crying out and convulsing him terribly, the demon came out and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And there is the boy, set free by the power of Jesus Christ and because of the deeds of a desperate dad. We see then Jesus explained the disciples' spiritual shortage when they got back in the house. The disciples asked Jesus privately, well, why couldn't we cast that demon out? And the answer is kind of, it's a little bit shameful here. The answer is this. Jesus said, well, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but what? But prayer. Jesus says to the disciples, well, boys, you're not really prayed up enough. I guess we could preach on that all day if we wanted to. You're not really prayed up enough. This kind can only come out by prayer, Jesus said to the disciples. But ultimately, Jesus emancipated and brought freedom to both the dad and the son. This was a new freedom and a new joy for dad and boy. And they came to a place where both of them found new faith and new freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ and a new future in the grace of God. Now we close the story with four principles. They are these. Number one, Christian dads must develop a genuine, thriving, growing relationship with Jesus for themselves and for the sake of their children. Let me ask all across the room today, how many dads are, let's have all the dads right now in the house stand for just a moment. Everybody who's a dad in the house today on this Father's Day, stand. Let's give them a hand clap today. Come on. And look up at me, dads. Every dad, listen, you may be old and gray. I would say old and gray, but in my family, we don't get gray. I share my dad's haircut. Oh, there's my dad and my big brother over there, bald as a billiard ball. And that is our heritage. And so we Perkinses get old and bald, not old and gray. Okay? But you may be old, but let me tell you, as long as you are alive and have children, no matter how old you are and they are, you are still the dad. In fact, I say this about mom too. Mom is always the mom. And as spiritual dads, you have a responsibility to your children as long as you live. To what? Be strong and growing and thriving in your own relationship with Jesus Christ. How many of you believe that your example is the most important part of the spiritual training? Would you say amen? You may be seated. Lesson number two. Christian dads must prioritize introducing and familiarizing their children to and with Jesus above all other earthly priorities. I remind you of this word from Jesus. What does it profit a person if they gain the whole world and lose their own soul? So listen, you can bring up your children to be the smartest mathematicians and engineers, and all of those things, and we need all of those things, and I'm thankful that God has put people in every imaginable field of life. But despite all of those things, spiritual priorities are first and foremost. And if your child is the best football player in Jefferson City, but doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, that's not good enough. So, spiritual priorities first. Number three, Christian dads must recognize spiritual warfare for what it is and fight spiritually for the freedom and welfare of their children. That means praying for their children, standing in faith for their children, and being strong in spiritual warfare. And number four, Christian dads must love their children with an enduring, embracing, expending, and expressive love, with an excellent love. That's the kind of love our Heavenly Father has for us. Could you say amen? And as such, fathers, Christian fathers, must love their children dearly and passionately, love them all the way to heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen.